I would invite you to take a Bible. If you don't have one with you, they're located in the pew near you. And turn to a very familiar story that we have read over and over and over again for most of our lives, coming from Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 18. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. Now you might wonder why, now that Christmas is over, we're reading from the Christmas story. I think I briefly hinted at that earlier when I was talking with the young men who had come down to share with me. You might wonder why we have left the nativity scene up. Except that, as I mentioned earlier, in the church calendar as a whole, the church universal, today would be Epiphany Sunday. And last year we talked about Epiphany, though from a different perspective. But it's Epiphany Sunday, the day that was set aside to recognize and remember the visit of the Magi, the wise men, because they were not there the night Jesus was born. They arrived later. And so, I think it is only fitting that we continue to remember in the beginning of this new year the call that we sang just a few moments ago, "O come, all ye faithful. O come, let us adore Him." You've heard the story, and it is a true story. In fact, sometime in the last few years, I briefly used it again as an example, but we're going to begin with a woman who was passing by a church right around the Christmas season. She had been out shopping with a friend of hers, and they were very tired, worn out. And as they went by the church, and she noticed the nativity out front, she said to her friend, "You know, they try to bring religion into everything. Now they're dragging it into Christmas. The story is both humorous and sad. It's humorous on the one hand, but it's also very, very sad, because she obviously had forgotten the true reason for celebrating the Christmas season. And she obviously did not bring her religious beliefs, if she had any, into anything but the church, and had compartmentalized the rest of her life, separated it from that reason, from that adoration. But you know, we don't have to just think about that woman to find folks for whom Christmas has become nothing but a commercial and has become commercialized. We decorate. We decorate and get excited early on. Or we kind of get cynical when last summer, I told you a few weeks ago, I saw Christmas decorations already in stores being sold. But we decorate. We get excited. Our sanctuary, our auditorium was absolutely beautiful, and we were excited with the services and with the decorations. And if you want to, you can go to the website and look on caught on camera on our website, and you can see what it looked like before and as the decorating was taking place. And I am extremely appreciative of all of those who helped to put up the trees and to decorate, and who helped to take down the trees and undecorate the sanctuary as well. It's a massive task. And we would love to have any or all of you help us again next year. But we do that, and we can hardly wait for Christmas to come, and some of us can hardly wait to undecorate. And as I have heard folks say in the past, didn't hear it this year, but I've heard folks say in the past in other places, well, now we can get back to normal. Stores begin the sales earlier and earlier for all kinds of things, predominantly for economic reasons. But you know, back before, when the stores were having the Christmas sales before Christmas to try and make the bottom line, I also, in certain stores, saw Valentine's already on the shelves, and in another section, Easter decorations already for sale. We rush the year even before we get rid of the Christmas items. We had wonderful participation this year in Christmas Eve communion service. By the way, there were 99 people here. We almost ran out of cups, and that's my fault, because I had said, cut down on the number. We've got so many people traveling this year. And we almost ran out. I guess, oh ye of little faith, right? That's as I say to myself. But as a whole, across our country and across the world, fewer and fewer people attend Christmas Eve services, and fewer people attend worship services on Sundays. A statistic that is saddening, especially for a world that is searching for something to take that sadness. My question for those who would say, why did we sing a Christmas carol when Christmas is over, would be, are Christmas and Easter the only times we make journeys to adore? The call is, oh come, let us adore Him. But it seems for far too much of our world, and quite frankly for far too much of the church as a whole, Christmas and Easter are becoming the only times we truly journey with a sense of adoration for God. Sure, we have Advent. That's four Sundays. Some people celebrate Lent. That's 40 days prior to Easter. We have Holy Week services. So yeah, there are other opportunities, but outside of those, are we still not called to come and adore? What journeys do we make in our lives which bring us to adore the Christ child, to adore what God does for us and within us? The Magi made a long journey. We're aware of that. These wise men came from the east in order to discover the gift that God had prepared for so long. In fact, they probably journeyed from somewhere over in the ancient Babylonian and Persian empires to the east. And once they left those empires, because you know they come from afar, once they left those empires in the east, they made that arduous journey. And when they arrived near Bethlehem in Jerusalem, King Herod had them come in. And he said, okay, why are you here? You haven't come to pay me homage, obviously, because you were going to bypass me. You were going to take the bypass around Jerusalem instead of coming through downtown. Why are you here? And they told him, we have seen this star. And it's not just a twinkle, twinkle little star. It is a very bright and bold light in the sky. And so we have studied all kinds of religious texts. And we have looked at the heavens and we've determined that there is a king that has been born. That did not excite Herod in the least. In fact, it made him upset and angry. And so he found out from them, okay, when did this star appear? And we know that later he had all the children in and around Bethlehem, two and under, killed. Which means the star had been around for about 2 years. These wise men had journeyed long in distance and long in time to find this king to adore. And they came with anticipation and excitement. They came with gifts of adoration and gratitude, quite frankly. Gratitude to God for allowing them to make this journey, to experience this good news for the world. Yes, they brought material gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Bless you. But that was not all they brought. Because as they came in and found Jesus with his mother in the house, they recognized him as a king, and they didn't just say, here's a present, unwrap it. Here's a gift receipt to go with it. No. They knelt down before him and gave him their gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, their emotions, their spirits. In other words, they gave themselves before this child. We're talking about wealthy, well-known men. We're talking about people who had power and position in society, and yet they adored this baby and offered themselves to him. They presented who they were, warts and all, in thanksgiving and adoration. The other week I was talking downstairs and said, now when the time comes for this particular message, I want us to be sure and sing one particular hymn. And the person present said, oh, and what is that? I said, well, Adeste Fideles. And they said, huh? Yeah, because we don't sing, but that's what it is. Adeste Fidelis. A call to come Fidelis, faithful ones. Those who have a sense of fidelity and loyalty. Commitment is what it takes to be among the faithful, to come and adore. The Magi, the wise men, showed that fidelity to God. They could have stopped at any time. They could have come in and said, "Oh, this is just a rough-looking house and a poor-looking couple and a little kid. Where are the chariots? Where is the gold? Where are all the servants?" But they recognized in this child the gracious gift of God and the grace gift of God. And they recognized that it was so important that they knelt and gave themselves, even to the point that what's the next thing they did when they left? They disobeyed a direct order from the king. They were so loyal to God and felt this loyalty to the child that they disobeyed a direct order from the king and left by another way so that the king would not have the opportunity to come and do the child harm. We sing, "O come, all ye faithful," at Christmas time. And the faithful and the semi-faithful and the curious come. But then Christmas seems to be over. The decorations are put away. The wrapping paper has been thrown in the trash. The gifts have been put in drawers or placed in closets, or if they're children's toys, they may still be strewn all over the house. Dad is still looking for that one missing screw. Might be missing in more way than another. And our travels stop. Our travels cease. What about our fidelity? Do we continue to journey and travel physically as we come together, but even more so emotionally and spiritually? Journey to adore Him. Worship is supposed to be praise and adoration. I saw a sign the other day. It says, "Praise and worship such and such a time. Worship such and such a time." I said, "Wait a minute. Worship and praise are to go hand in hand." And there are many different ways for us to offer that worship and praise, but they go hand in hand and must include adoration, not for the good of ourselves, but because God deserves that adoration and that fidelity and that loyalty. The Nativity is still up. We sang, "O come all ye faithful," to remind us that Christmas adoration is not just one day or 2 days or even 4 weeks during a year. When the tinsel and the lights are gone, the Christmas glow and adoration is to continue. Normal, we can get back to normal. Normal should include worship and adoration and the giving of gifts, the gift of self, the gift of grace, the gift of mercy, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of life, not just to the Christ child, but because of Him to each other. "O come, all ye faithful." Joyful and triumphant. "Yea, Lord, we greet Thee. Born this happy morning, but not just born at Christmas, but born anew in our hearts and our minds, even at the beginning of a new year." come and adore Him. May we pray. Lord, we do greet You at the beginning of a new year. Sometimes we greet with grumpiness and other times with joy. Sometimes kind of ho-hum. Forgive our shortcomings and help us to greet You each day with adoration and with anticipation for the opportunities that we have to give Your good to the rest of the world. We offer ourselves to You in Christ's name. Amen. It's absolutely overwhelming if you think about it, and amazing that God would come and would continue to take us when we so often forget. But then again, God's grace is truly an amazing thing. And our closing hymn is number 343, Amazing Grace. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, a decision first time for Christ as Lord and Savior, to become part of this fellowship, or to rekindle that joy and adoration. Number 343, Amazing Grace.